You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We appreciate the support for New Day with Rhett Palmer from the family of Mosquito Joe. For information, find them on the internet at melbourne@mosquitojoe.com. Roaches gone, ants gone, spiders and hornets all gone. Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
This is Rhett Palmer, and it's a new day. A very interesting story coming up with Gilbert. Gilbert, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Tell the folks where I met you.
At the International Christian Music Film Festival at the Wyndham in Orlando, Florida.
Yes, it was great meeting you, and are you part of that somehow? Did you volunteer your services? How did you end up being a part of the film festival?
I believe that was my fourth year volunteering as security for the film festival.
Wonderful. And I met you there, and quite a story that you have to tell on how you came to know Jesus. Where did your life start? How did you all get going? When did you come to know Jesus? Let's go back to the beginning.
You mean my life when Jesus saved me, or my life when I was born in Colorado?
Well, probably we should start with Colorado, but I do want people to know that your mother actually dedicated you to the devil and your sister.
Yeah, I have two sisters by the name of Geraldine and Judy, and yes, my mom did dedicate us to Satan. She used to play at the Ouija board, use certain ointments and cast spells and do chants and stuff like that, and she actually became demon-possessed a couple times in front of us.
Why would she do that? Why would anybody maybe not in the right mind?
Well, I think that we're all born not in our right mind. It's only Jesus that sets us right when he saves us, and his Holy Spirit power, love, and of a sound mind changes us into right thinking. So I think that she might have been struggling with fame or fortune or identity crisis.
Was she famous?
No, she was not.
Oh.
So anyway, something happened. I just don't know. I'm too young to know why she would do that, but she did. So.
Did she ever reconcile with Jesus, come to know him, or did she rear you, or did you go out on your own? What happened after, you know?
Well, as far as I know, the first 8 years of my life, me and my sister Judy and Geraldine, we went through a lot of various abuse. I remember a time where, I'm going to keep it PG, but my mom used to put me in the closet and tell me that the devil's going to get me. Found sleeping, and she opened the door, she's going to beat me again. And she tried to starve me and my two sisters to death. I used to sneak out of the closet, go grab handfuls of dog food from my dog and eat fudgesicles in order to survive. So
how horrible. What age were you at this?
I was from when I was born to my first 8 years of my life. So the last time I saw my mom was until I was a little bit older. She drove us out in the snow in Pueblo, Colorado. And we asked our mom to let us go back, and you can envision this. I was in my underwear, and my sisters were in their nightgowns, and she would not let us go back. The demon that was controlling her talked through her in a real deep voice and scared us and said, "I told you to get out of here, not come back." So we left, and my sister Geraldine found a person who was going to...
No, wait a minute. Your mother left you then, or what?
Yeah, my mom made us go outside and locked
the door. Left you in snow up in the mountains?
No, this is in Pueblo, Colorado. Almost the mountains, but not quite. But it was snowing. So my sister was smart enough to go to somebody's house, knock out, and the nice lady opened the door and let us have some hot tea. And to this day, I think that's my most favorite tea I've ever had. Just remember that tea and got us out.
So what happened then? Did the government come along and set you up in foster homes? What happens next?
No, my dad was involved. He was working. He didn't know at the time that my mom had driven us out. So the police came and got us, and they put us in a cell. We were actually in a cell with bars, but they treated us really good, and they gave us spaghetti. That was delicious, and it was the best spaghetti still to this day I've ever had, because I wasn't allowed to eat much. And
for the first 8 years of your life?
Yes, sir. Yeah, but that's good. God is good. God is good all the time. And then my dad came and picked us up, and she ended up just giving me to my father. But, you know, the abuse didn't stop there. It started with my real mom, except for without, I would say, sexual abuse. And without the, but the physical, mental, and emotional abuse continued from my stepmom and from my father. From my real mom and from my father. So, well, no, it was my stepmom at that time. Yeah. So anyway, but you got to remember this, Rhett. My sin, I blame myself for. Not for my parents or what I was brought up through.
What is your sin? What happened to you after that?
Well, you grow up, you know. The age of 16, fast forward to the age of 16, I was smoking weed and chasing girls, and I was like that all the way until I was 39 years old. And then December 29th, Jesus saved my soul.
December 29th when?
20 years ago, I believe that would be 2001.
And how old were you at that time?
39.
39 years of age. Up to that point, what did you do for a living?
Construction, restaurant business, whatever I could do in order to survive, as long as it was legal, I was good to go.
Okay, so what happens at 39 that turns you towards Jesus? We'll go into the details later on, but the overall story right now.
Well, I had a choice, and God gave me an ultimatum. He says, you're either going to repent or you're going to die without me and end up burning in hell. But that's not my will for you. My will is to bless you, give you life and hope. And
Did you hear a voice?
It was in my heart. It's still a small voice. So I immediately went to my room, got on my knees and prayed and asked God to forgive me. I was fasting, praying and reading God's word after that for 2 weeks in a row. And that's when I felt demons literally come out of me, out of my stomach and out of my top of my head, 2 weeks in a row. And then he filled me and he sealed me with his Holy Spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. Since then, I haven't looked back by the grace of God through Jesus.
Well, I hardly know you, but at the convention, you have a resolve to do what you say. You said, I will do what I say to do. And every person you said you were going to introduce, I met you, I don't know how we befriended each other. We met in the lobby, and then you said, whatever I say I'll do, I will do. And you did. You introduced me to this person, the guy who started it. You were there. You got me a seat here or there, whatever it was. And that a certain code that you obviously live by that the Lord taught you.
Yeah, I believe you should let your yes be yes and your no be no.
That's biblical.
But sometimes I don't always get that right. And there are times when I feel like I'm a coward and I'm going to go on a mission trip and I don't want to be away from my family. And I'll wrestle with it and I'll fight with it. But then I tell myself, okay, but I gave these people my word. So I need to go. And so I eventually, for the most part, try to keep my word 98% of the time.
Now, so I see you have a wedding ring on. So you are married now. You have children.
Yes.
How many?
Oh, that's a whole different story, man. But the one that I'm with now, I have four. I married into two, and I had two with her. So Andrew is 20 years old in Rollins College. Pray for him because he's not living with God. And then I have Jacob, who's holding on to Jesus, and he just graduated from TFA. And then I have Stephen, who's 12, and Hope, who is 10, and they are at a Montessori World School.
Now, obviously, something very extreme must have happened to you, because I see you have a big tattoo, and it's a tattoo. What does it say?
Dioko, this is mean, in Greek means for press on.
Are you Greek?
No, but I like the word because it's intense.
Dioko.
Dioko means press on, don't give up, and I put a cross on there. Toward the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, because I want that to remind myself of what God has done for me. And before then, I had not a very good-looking tattoo on it, and so I had covered it up with something that I wouldn't be ashamed of.
Good for you. Now, let me ask you this. So I had a lot of people telling me about Jesus, and one friend in particular, Bobby Vendetta, bass player, and he was younger than me. He used to go into the recording studio with me. But anyway, all of a sudden one day, he said, well, I got born again. I speak in tongues. What's that? I believe in Jesus now, my Lord and Savior. Oh, he says, I'm a witness for Jesus. I said, what's that mean? What do you mean a witness? And ironically, he became a great witness in my life because I looked at him from the corner of my eye for over a year. And I said, there is a change in him. Now, I want to know what happened to you. Hold on. So anyway, I started watching Pat Roberts in the 700 Club. I met this one, that one. I was in Hollywood, California. This guy is an actor who I think was living a gay lifestyle. He had turned around because he came to know Jesus. And then some other guy at another table in the ABC commissary goes, "Amen, brother." And I'm thinking, oh my God, wherever I was going with these born-again Christians. And I did a jingle for the American Lung Association. It turns out we're having lunch in a restaurant, and the CEO brings up Jesus, and I'm embarrassed by the name of Jesus. I did not believe in Jesus, but I was embarrassed with his religiosity. But all these people, and then Bob Dylan came to know the Lord. Even then, I didn't come to know the Lord. Finally, one morning, I call out, I think it was a Sunday morning, and I just yelled at the ceiling and said, "Okay, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross. I'll take a chance." And he rose from the dead. Nothing happened. I said, "Okay, I believe you died. I'm a fool to live without God. I believe you died on the cross. You rose from the dead to forgive my sins, and I surrender the rest of my life." And that's when it happened. And I was filled with the holiness of God. Sat down in a rocking chair, and I said, "This is what the black folks are talking about." I said, "I always thought happiness and joy were synonyms, but this was joy." So you, on the other hand, I want to know specifically, what happened to you? You're living this life, doing whatever you want with wine, women, and song. You're 39 years of age. What brought you to the point where suddenly God decides to talk to you?
Well, I always knew, before my mom went off the deep end and started worshiping Satan, I always knew that God was good, because before she did that, she had read the Bible to us. And then after she had turned south, and
you want to hear the rest of the interview, tune in from 3 to 4 in the afternoon. I'm Rhett Palm. This is a new day, if you want it to be.
Indian River Real Estate, LLC, is a hometown family company. Hi, I'm Josh Stahls. My wife, Mandy, and I have deep roots in this community and are blessed to be raising our two sons here. Growing up in Indian River County, I understand the changing market and love helping our clients find a place to call home. Mandy and I have the tools and experience to guide our clients to the closing table. Helping clients feel confident in the buying and selling process is what we do. We can be found at IndianRiverRealEstateLLC.com or on Facebook.
There's a name that can silence every fear. There's a love that embraces the heartache, the pain, and the tears. Through my faith and my doubting, I know one thing for sure. His word is unfailing, his promise secure. Todo va a estar bien, everything will be alright. Whole world's in his hands, your whole world's in his hands. In the darkness, in the trials, he's faithful and he is true. The whole world's in his hands, you don't last time yet. Oh, 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 everything will be alright. Oh, oh, oh. Father, you say everything's gonna be alright, but my circumstances say I won't last through the night. I need your word to hold me now, I need you to pull me through. I need a miracle, a breakthrough, I need you. They say you hold the whole universe in your hand, but my world's falling apart like it is made of sand. Am I small enough to slip through the cracks? Can you take my broken pieces and put them back? Give me faith to believe you are on my side. Open my eyes and see you working in my life. Let the past remind me you'd never fail, and tell my soul it is well.